Blog Talk Radio.
For being who he is, the beloved Son of God, who he is well pleased. I love the word for this morning. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Hallelujah. We got to hear Jesus today. We got to hear his voice today. We got to lift up today all those that are sick, those that are shut in, those that are in need of Jesus. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning asking you to increase, Lord God, as we decrease, Lord God. I lift up Pastor Paul this morning continuously asking you, Lord God, to heal his body, Lord God, as he fights this fight. Hallelujah. Lord God, we ask you to continue watching over him, continuing allowing your angels of heaven to come into the room, oh God, to come into the room to give him supernatural Holy Ghost strength. Father God, we ask you to continue watching over our pastor as she continues to minister and to lead our flock. As she deals with her husband's illness, oh God, we ask you, Lord, to give her supernatural strength. Give her that strength of Samson. Give her the faith of Elijah and of Isaiah. Help her, Lord God, to know that she can go through the water like Moses and Joshua. Lord God, help her to be strong and courageous. Because you are with her wherever she's going, and you are with Pastor Paul. So we thank you today, Lord God, for strength. Lord, we ask as we lift this word up to you today that you show us how to be like Moses, oh God, how to be strong like his mother and his father and his sister who basked. Send him down a river. Full of, you know, crocodiles and whatever else to be a prince of Egypt, to lead his people out of bondage. Lord God, we thank you for this Exodus word we are starting this morning. And Lord, we let it, ask you to let it permeate on someone's heart that you can bring us out even with a child. You can bring us out with faith. Lord God, I thank you for the Moseses of our life and our experiences in this nation. But you know all things, Lord God. You know what was done in the dark. You know what was done in the light. You know the where the each and every body has been thrown and buried. You know, Lord God, each and every child treated as if they were cattle. You know everything, Lord God, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But, Lord, you brought us through. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, for we are all your children. Lord God, I lift up all churches today, Lord God, and pastors and shepherds, as I lift up all the sick and the shut-in, asking you, Lord God, to heal bodies, to heal minds, to heal spirits. Lord God, I ask you to watch over every person in this planet, every child, Lord God, keep them protected by an angel of protection, that no hurt, no harm, no danger come nigh to them or their dwelling. Protect our children, Lord, for those that would do them evil. Protect our elderly, Lord God, for those that would hurt or harm them for personal gain. I ask you, Lord God, to watch over the nurses and the doctors and caregivers and those that are in positions of help, the dietitians, the anesthesiologists, each and every person, Lord God, the CNAs, the practitioners, everyone that is fighting the fight of faith today, Lord God, helping the sick that are in hospitals dealing with this horrible virus all over this planet. Lord God, you are getting our attention. We are ready to get in the boats, oh God. We're ready to do whatever you say do. But we have faith in you, Lord God. We have mustard seed faith that all will be well with those that trust in you. Father God, I lift up leaders today, leaders of nations, leaders of churches, leaders of business, that they will have compassion and love for those that are less fortunate than themselves. And Lord, I pray for those that are homeless and feeling helpless, that there is a home, there is some place that you are right now getting ready for each and every one of them, that this nation, this rich nation, will no longer have to have people living on the street, dying from cold and hunger, that doors will be open for them. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for your beloved Son, who you are well pleased, who is my Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for his blood that covers each and every one of us. All we have to do is lift our hands and say, Jesus, come into my life. I want to be saved. So, Father God, I pray for salvation of those that are not saved but want to be, in Jesus' name. Amen. Whew, what a word this morning. We have a word this morning, and it is a great word. We are talking about that baby, whew, that beautiful baby called Moses, who becomes a prince of Egypt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for Moses, who set your people free, who took them across the Red Sea. Get into our word this morning for those that are just joining us. We are coming out of the book of Exodus. And as we get into our little book again this year, know your Bible. I say it. Know your Bible, y'all. Know your Bible. And today we're coming out of Exodus. And an overview of Exodus is this: not stated but traditionally attributed to Moses. In Exodus 34:27, God tells Moses, write thou these things, these words. And Jesus in Mark 12:26 quotes from Exodus as the book of Moses. Date approximately 1400 BC, about 1400 years before Jesus. In 10 words or less, God delivers his people, the Israelites, from slavery in Egypt. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for deliverance. Details, please. The Israelites prospered in Egypt, having settled there at the invitation of Abraham's great-grandson, Joseph, who entered the country as a slave and rose to second in command. We just finished Genesis, and we know Joseph was the all that and some. When Joseph dies, a new Pharaoh sees the burgeoning family as a threat and makes the people his slaves. God hears the Israelites groaning. Remember his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And rising up Moses as their deliverer, God speaks through a burning bush, and Moses reluctantly agrees to demand the Israelites' release from Pharaoh. To break Pharaoh's will, God sends 10 plagues on Egypt, ending with the death of every firstborn child except those of the Israelites. They put sacrificial blood on their doorposts, causing the Lord to pass over their homes. Pharaoh finally allows the Israelites to leave the country, the Exodus. And God parts the Red Sea for the people who are being pursued by Egyptian soldiers. At Mount Sinai, God delivers the Ten Commandments, rules for worship, and laws to change the family into a nation. When Moses delays on the mountain, the people begin worshiping a golden calf, bringing a plague upon themselves. Moses returns to restore order, and Exodus ends with the people continuing their journey to the promised land of Canaan, following God's pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. A quotable, God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus thou shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And that's Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, which we will be getting to probably tomorrow. And it goes in to say, thou shalt thou saith the Lord, let my people go. Exodus 8 and 1. Then I see the when I see the blood, I will pass over you. 12:13. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Exodus 20 and 3. Unique and unusual, God told the Israelites to celebrate the Passover with a special meal of bread without yeast. 12:14-15. 3,000 years later, Jewish people will commemorate the event. That will be coming up then, I believe, March or first part of April. So what? The story of redemption is on clear display in Exodus as God rescued his people from their slavery in Egypt. In the same way, Jesus breaks our bonds of sin. Hebrew chapter 2, verse 14 through 15. And I can honestly say I am grateful that God broke the bondage of slavery over the people, over my family, generations ago. And I am grateful that I am one of those few African Americans that can trace my lineage back to the 1800s, because normally we are not listed. We are listed as if we were cattle. So I'm grateful, family, I can trace back in ancestry to at least 1842. So I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful to God to be a woman of God and to be able to do what I do for him by reading this word every day, Sunday through Friday, knowing that God is with me and that he is pleased with his word being put out there for everyone to hear. Thank God today for your love, for his love for us and for his beloved son, who he is well pleased, who is our Savior, Jesus Christ. Exodus chapter 1 through Exodus chapter 2, verse 25. If there is any that cannot hear me today, please raise your hand. If the voice, if it's not right, let me know. I am on a headset, and I have had some issues with it. So please, when you are able to hear, let me know that it's going in and out so I can adjust. Thank you so much, family, and thank you for listening in this morning. Now, these are the names of the children of Israel who came to Egypt. Each man in his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. All those who were descendants of Jacob were 70 persons, but Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, all his brothers and all that generation, but the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, "Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them. They multiply and inhabit in the event of war, that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land." Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, and the more they multiplied and grew, and they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar, in brick, and in all manner of service. In the field, all their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shephora, and the name of the other Pua. And he said, "When you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live." But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and save the male children alive?" And the midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them." Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, "Every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." And a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, dug it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it on the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens, walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, because I drew him out of the water. Now it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brothers. So he looked this way and that way. And when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to the one who did the wrong, why are you striking your companion? Then he said, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? So Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water, and they filled the troughs to water their father's flock. Then the shepherds came to drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. When they came to Raul, their father, he said, how is it that you have come so soon today? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherds, and he also drew enough water for us and watered the flock. So he said to his daughter, and where is he? Why is it that you have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. Then Moses was content to live with the man, and he gave Zipporah, his daughter, to Moses. And she bore him a son. He called his name Gershom. But he said, I have been a stranger in a foreign land. Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out. And their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. Praise the Lord. And we'll do all the life lessons at the end of the show. All life lesson questions, anything we have from Dr. Stanley, we will do at the end of the show today so we can get all of our word in. And all I can say is thank you, God, for this great word. A Psalm of David, Psalm chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own heart and does not change. He who does not put out his money as surety, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 25-27. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Ooh, what a word. And our New Testament word, which is where our title comes from this morning, Matthew chapter 17. And it says this, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make your three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. When the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Jesus answered and said to them, indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has come already. They did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist. And every time I think of John the Baptist, I can't help but get a little teary-eyed, because he died in such a vile way, for such a vile, unholy reason, because a king had a moment with his stepdaughter. Come on now. Call it straight. It was a bunch of nasty. What do you want besides half of my kingdom? I would give it to you. So what does she want? A John the Baptist. Why? Because her mama told her that's what she should take. Because mom hated John for speaking truth to power. Y'all nasty. You know the man you living with is your husband, is your brother-in-law, because you are already a married woman. You are an adulteress. And he called them out on their adultery, and they didn't like it. John was a brave and awesome man of God, and he was the one that prepared the way for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Glory be, and may God continue to watch over this mighty man of God. For he has come into the kingdom. Hallelujah. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire, often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, oh, perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. If you feel that your mountain can't be moved, if you feel that something is holding you back, we got to fast and we got to pray. Lord, give me the strength to move these mountains. Lord, give me the strength of, give me the faith of a mustard seed to move this mountain, to say to this spirit, this demon that has come in, or to the demons that have come in. Because when one can't find a place, he brings back seven to try to kill, steal, and destroy the peace that was where it was. We got to start fasting and praying to get out of some of the doldrums we're in. We got to fast and pray to get those spirits out of our houses, out of our midst, we got to pray and ask God to guide us and lead us to his destination that he has for us. Hallelujah. Fasting and prayer, that some things you cannot conquer except for with fasting and prayer. Father God, we lift up today all those that are dealing with spirit. As we fast and pray, Lord, we ask you to remove those mountains, the mountains of sin and doubt and fear. We ask you to remove them in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes you just got to stop and pray. Hallelujah. And it says in verse 22 of Matthew chapter 17, now while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And the third day he will be raised up. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. When they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and says, does your teacher not pay the temple tax? And he said, yes. And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers? Peter said to him, from strangers. Jesus said to him, then the sons are free. Nevertheless, let we offend them. Go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you. Wow. Come on now. Had to pay taxes. And what did he do? Say, go get a fish. Open it up. Open up his mouth, and there's the money. The Lord, if the Lord provided money from a fish, don't you think he'll provide for you? That you can pay your tithes and pay your taxes and give your offerings. The Lord God provides for us what we need when we need to do it. All you got to do is say, I will. I will go. Send me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for this word this morning. And we're going to go back and go over some life lessons and life examples this morning from Dr. Stanley. The commentary is somewhat Dr. Stanley's and somewhat mine that I have been given by the Lord. So let's keep it moving. Life example from Exodus chapter 1 through chapter 2, verse 25. And this is what it says. One of the greatest differences between the world's message about success and God's is this. The world seeks a single formula to produce one set of results for all people, while God's plan is for more creative, far more individualized, and far more personal. Yes, thank you, Lord. God gives us individuality. He lets each person be accountable for only himself. And one size does not fit all. Take Moses, for example. From all visible indication, he was doomed even before he was born because of Pharaoh's decree. Kill all the Hebrew baby boys. But God, and this says, yet God had different plans, and he causes Moses to be uniquely positioned to be the deliverer of Israel, because Moses is a prince. Of all the things, you've got to say, he was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, which makes him a prince of Egypt. Let's keep it moving. It says, still, Moses had no vision for success as he grew up, even though as an adopted son of Pharaoh, he enjoyed a certain degree of privilege. After murdering an Egyptian, however, he ran for his life and then spent 40 years tending sheep. But one day, the Lord revealed himself to Moses and gave him a specific life mission. Now, I want you to think that through. He was in exile 40 years. So he has to be, you know, so we're looking at probably he's 60-ish when he goes back to Egypt. He's an older man. And then when you think about this, after he gets out of Egypt, he's in the wilderness 40 more years. So Moses is 100 plus as he goes through this journey. He's an older man, at least his 80s, 90s, somewhere in there, as he's traveling these 40 years. You know, 70 to 100 years old. 60 to 100 years old. And still spry. Come on now. Don't tell me what God can't do. Keep moving, because this is a great word today. So, many of us go through difficult and even devastating experiences, and then one day come face to face with the reality of God. Is this a pattern that God seems to be implementing in your life? If so, stick with this plan, regardless of how unorthodox it may seem. The promised land lies in that direction. And I can speak that. When you're sideways in a car and can't get out until paramedics come and you're able to get the sunroof open, and that's the only way you can get out of that vehicle. Don't tell me what God can do. He saved my life, because I could have broke my neck that night. I could have been dead in that car. But God, no broken limbs, not even a scratch. Not, I have an ache or a pain every now and then, but I had an ache and a pain already. So I feel no different except from my heart, my mind, and my spirit feels different. Angel, hold me in. I felt the warmth of God, and all I felt was a pillow holding my head in place. Don't tell me what God cannot do, because he can do all things. He can do all things. He saved a baby boy from death, and he saved me. And all I can say is, thank you, God. I will work for you until my last breath, because I know what God did for me. And what he did for me, he can do for you. Hallelujah. If there's a testimony out there this morning, then I ask you to push the number 1 on your phone where God saved your life while you're still here to do the work of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And as we continue in these lessons, Exodus chapter 1, verses 17 to 20. The midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them. When we fear God more than we fear anyone or anything else, God can do mighty things through us. Also, God blessed the midwives for their courageous actions. He also blesses wholeheartedly obedience. God blesses us when we are obedient. Exodus chapter 2, verse 10. She brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. The Lord delights in taking the evil of men and using it for good. Here God took an Egyptian edit meant to kill Hebrew boys and used it to rear a Hebrew delivered in Pharaoh's own household. A Hebrew deliverer in Pharaoh's own household. Exodus 2 and 23, they cried out and their cry came of bondage. God heard the cries and groans of the enslaved Hebrews and moved to act for their deliverance long before they knew anything about it. God is at work on our behalf even when he appears silent. Hallelujah. We thank God today that he heard the cries of our ancestors, that we are free, free to live life to the full if we choose to follow God. I choose this day to follow God through Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I am thankful. I am grateful, and I am blessed to be a child of the Most High God, because he delivered us out of bondage. Thank you, Jesus. He delivered the Hebrew children out of bondage. And he will deliver you out of the bondage of sin. All you have to do is ask Jesus to come into your life. Ponder the path of your feet, Proverbs 4:26. Sometimes we fall into sin not because we plan to, but because we aren't looking where we are going. God calls us to stay spiritually alert at all times, and that includes taking regular inventory of our life's direction. We got to take inventory. We got to look around and see the mess in our lives that we got to get cleaned up. And it's time to go to work. We got to do what we must do. We got to trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. This is the title of our word today. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Hallelujah. At both the baptism of Jesus and the transfiguration, God the Father publicly declared his great pleasure in his only son, Jesus. Jesus speaks, Father, and we are to obey him as we obey the Father. Hallelujah. Jesus speaks for Father God, and we need to obey. We need to listen. 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 And listen some more. Sometimes we get so caught up in our prayers that we don't take a breath to listen to the answer that God has for us. Take a minute. Listen. Matthew 17:17, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Jesus expects us to grow in our faith. Our trust in him is to be deepened as we depend upon him to help us overcome difficulties and surmount challenges. He is not pleased with stagnant faith. Wow. He's not pleased with stagnant faith. We've got to keep moving. We've got to keep growing what we do for God. Ask God to guide you today. Ask God to give you strength today. Ask God to lead you today. Hallelujah. Speak to God, and God will hear you. Then take a minute. Be quiet so you can hear from God. And that is all I have today. If there's any testimony out there, please push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be opened. Good morning, good morning, good morning, Evangelist Teresa.
Yes, I want to say how God saved my life 2 years ago. I was in the hospital. I'd had back surgery. And before I had the surgery, I kept telling everybody, they said, well, we're going to be praying for you. We're worried. I said, but God said I got you. Well, I ended up, they said I had no brain activity, that I would be a vegetable. Then the very next day I coded. My blood pressure was 0/0. No heartbeat, no nothing. At that time, God lifted me out of my body and held me. His hands are so precious and so strong and so big and beautiful. Held me while they worked on me. I felt them shocking my heart. And I'm like, Daddy, that hurts. He said, I got you. Then when they started massaging my heart, I said, Daddy, tell the guy to stop. He said, I got you. And he slipped me right back into my body. But here I am today, I have the brain of an elephant.
No brain damage.
You know, I'm not brain dead.
Hallelujah.
I'm not dead. I'm not laying in ICU. I'm here to do the work of the Lord and nobody else. And I thank and praise him for saving my life, because he didn't have to do it, but he did. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
God.
Woo, praise
yes,
the Lord.
I thank God. I thank God he saved you from the accident. Yeah, we got to tell what God did for us to help others, not ourselves, but to help others.
We praise God today because
yeah,
God is you. I cannot do nothing more than say thank you. Thank
That's
you.
Right.
Thank
you know,
you.
Because
thank
we
you,
had
Lord.
To be... Oh, I thank
it's
God.
Time to go to work,
family. Spared you, Woo. Pastor Jess, Pastor Bridget. I thank God that he saved your life. You could be in a hospital, an ICU, nothing, being paralyzed, but God had his guardian angels encamped round about
Ooh, Jesus,
you.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank
he's
you,
worthy.
God, this morning. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, your glory shines upon us. But
yeah,
your
God.
Beloved son came onto this planet, into this
yes.
earth, for all of us to save us. Lord God, we thank you this morning for your beloved son, whom you are
yes.
well pleased, and whom we are grateful. Lord God, we lift up in the name of Jesus again all those that are at the door. Some will
yes.
not and be saved.
Yes.
And some will not know how to
oh,
knock.
Yeah, God. Thank you,
Lord, we
Lord.
Pray
Thank
for those
Lord.
That are not saved today. We pray for those that are sleeping and don't know you, Lord.
Yeah, God.
We pray for those who had opportunity to get to know you but chose the world.
Amen.
And we pray for those that know you and are just waiting. Waiting to see you. Waiting to seek you. Waiting to lie at your feet.
Yeah, God.
Waiting for their robes of white.
Yes, God.
Waiting. Father God, we wait. And we stand
yes.
firm. And know that you are God. And that
yes.
you loved us enough to keep us here to continue working the work we are called to do.
Amen.
To teach, to preach, to evangelize.
Yes.
To prophesy. To lift up when others tear down.
Yes.
To stand firm in faith. Because you, Father God, are in charge of everything.
Hallelujah.
You are creator. You
yeah.
made us all.
Yeah.
You made every planet, planets discovered and planets unknown. You created them all. And Lord God, all we can say is thank you. Thank you, Lord,
thank
for all you've done for each and every one of us. Thank
yeah.
you, Lord, for even the boo-boos and them down the street who don't know
yeah.
you yet. But Lord, we are praying for them. We are lifting up those that don't know you, have never heard the name of Jesus. Lord God, we're asking you to send children from the east and the west, because when children get to know Jesus, they take him home with them. So their mothers
yes.
and their fathers get to know Jesus too. So Father God,
Amen.
We ask you to send children from the east and the west, the north and the south, that they may be saved, to take your light into their homes. For your word says a little child shall lead them. Lord, let
yes.
the little children lead them into the house of God so that they will
yes.
be saved as well. And Lord, we lift up this word that we have read and thank you for leaving us a blueprint. A basic instruction before leaving earth. This blueprint that you have left us called the Bible, Lord God. It tells us your story. It tells us how to live. It gives us your laws and your statutes. May we follow them. May we not think that they are passe, because they're in the Old Testament and we are living by grace. Lord God, we know we must stand on your word to have no other God before you, to not make graven images. Honor our fathers and our mothers, oh God, that our days may be long on this earth. Lord God, we thank you for our parents, the good ones, the bad ones, and the ones that are just downright ugly. We still thank you, but they gave us life through you. And Lord God, we ask you to continue watching over our children. As they grow, let them grow in peace. Let them grow in love, and let them grow in the joy of the Lord, which is their strength. We thank you, Jesus, for this word, for your death.
Yeah, God.
And we know that you are beloved not only by the Father. We can say yes, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. I love you, Jesus, more than anything. And all I can say is thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And it's in your name that I lift up and say, may the Lord watch between me and thee. While we are all absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of the matchless Savior, the mighty Son of God, whom he is well pleased. It's in his name I pray his blood over each and every one of you, from the crowns of your head to the soles of your feet, that you may be blessed, that you may be favored, that you may be healed, set free, and filled with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, believing and trusting in God, that all things are working for our good, whether we know it or not. God will show you the light of his word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, family, for listening in this morning. We have a lot, and I say a whole lot, of great word to go through in Exodus. Whoa.
Amen.
It is, if you want to call it a movie, it is epic, and it's not Hollywood nonsense. It is the word of God, and it is big, it is great, it is mighty, and you need to have the highlighter available, because there's a whole lot of highlightable in the book of Exodus, showing how great and mighty our God, I Am, is for us. And for Moses and for his children. He bought us out of bondage. And all we can say is thank you.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Evangelist, for joining us this morning. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. Thank you for all listening in. All I can say is please tell a friend to dial 213-943-3597 if they just want to hear a word of God. That Bible study is going on at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. Come join us for Bible study. Come join us for a word of God. So tell a friend, if they are on Facebook, they need to go to, they can join in from Bridget Smith. Just ask for me. I am out on Twitter as Minister B Talks Word. That's Minister_B Talks Word on Twitter, and you can tune in that way. And all I can say is Twitter, Facebook, you can join in that way. Some of you do, and I thank you for listening in to Blog Talk Radio, or you can go directly to Blog Talk Radio and type in Moving Forward. And you will be able to listen live or listen later on blogtalkradio.com, Moving Forward with Minister Bridget. Thank you so much, family. It is a what? it's a wrap. Why? Because we're
Hallelujah.
Always ready, available, and presently praying for each and every one of you. It's a wrap.
Amen.